power struggle. For two or three days, for two or three days, I guess, you know, that's been going off in my spirit. You'll maybe understand as I go on. But how many knows there's no struggle between darkness and light? There's no power struggle. You know, Satan was in heaven, and it wasn't a big struggle to get him out of there. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says that Jesus told the disciples, he said, I saw him fall like lightning. I'm talking about bam. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me today, which I already knew it, but he spoke to me and he said, I took care of him there. He said, and you take care of him here. How many knows we got authority over Satan? It can look like, sound like on the news, look like all around us, you know, that darkness is prevailing, hallelujah, but it's not. Hallelujah. It might seem like he's gaining ground in your life, praise God, hallelujah. I'm talking about when you're going after God and you believe in God. I'm not talking about if you're just laying down yielding to discouragement. There's only really one way you can get in unbelief, and that's quit believing. Praise God, if you don't quit believing, you won't enter into unbelief and discouragement and all that stuff. But there's no power struggle between darkness and light today. Jesus, the Word of God, is light to us. It brings illumination to us. And the Holy Spirit, Monty, he was teaching his Sunday school, and he's talking about the mystery of the church and all of that stuff and Israel and all that. But Paul said it this way. He said, the mystery of the kingdom is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He was hid. Praise God. And then, see, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. See, Jesus was talked about, the Bible says, he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. And I was thinking about it today. I was thinking, you know, I hadn't gave Satan a lot of attention a lot of years in my life because I found out that I didn't have to struggle with him. I found out through the Word of God that he's been stripped of all power. Jesus made a show of him open, spoiling him. The Bible, when the word spoil, spoiling principalities, made a show of him openly. The word spoil means that he rendered him helpless against the body, against Christians, hallelujah. But he would really like for God's people to believe that there's a power struggle between light and darkness in their life. There's really not. There's a choice for Jesus Christ, and then finding out through the Word of God, getting knowledge of who you are, and then begin to walk in that and lay hold of God's promises. Lay hold of it. I don't know about you, but I've been believing for over 30 years to prosper, and I have prospered. It's not because I'm a preacher. I found out some things in the Word of God. Deuteronomy 28 was there before I was born. Hallelujah. It was already there, and it says if we, God's people, will hearken to the voice of the Lord and do all that he tells us, whatever he's telling you to do, that's all he requires of you to do. Right? Not what everybody else puts on you and all that. No, you just go, and then you begin to shove out the chances of Satan coming to you and saying you're not going to prosper. Why? Because you're full of God's Word on it. God's Word has been quickened to you. The biggest way that God quickens his Word, the primary way, is when we're reading it. We're spending time with him in it. Reading the Word of God, meditating on it. When God brings something to you, like, you know, the Bible says that Satan fell from heaven like lightning, and then he was rendered helpless. But the Bible does say that he's come to try to wear you out. But the Bible says that we're not ignorant, so I'm not ignorant when he tries to get me in unforgiveness, right? I'm not ignorant when he tries to use somebody to get me offended. I'm not ignorant of his devices, according to Corinthians. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of his devices. So he would like to try to make you think he can just slip up anytime he wants to and get you out of the will of God, or get you in fear, or get you discouraged. But that's not the way that it really is. If the Bible, just like the Bible says in Psalms, it says, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're in this world, a shadow of death. What do we do? Travis said it this way. He got a hold of it. He said, just turn the light on. If the valley's dark, if your trial is hard and heavy, turn the light on. Get the word. The psalmist David, he said, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It gets clearer and clearer. Your path will get clearer and clearer as you walk with the Lord, as you don't yield to the enemy. We have to yield to the enemy for him to be able to do anything. Matt gave a real good example of simple making a choice, when, you know, and walking in the power of God. Hallelujah. We simply say, nope, we're going to walk with God, and we draw our strength from the Lord. Put that Ephesians. Now give me that Luke 10. There's no power struggle. I've had Christians, you know, tell me over the years, you know, and if I really would believe what they're saying, put weight in what they're saying, I would have believed that I couldn't do anything to the enemy, because it really looked like to me, and according to their words, that Satan just wreaks havoc in their life anytime he wants to. But I knew the word of God, and I would come back and I would tell them, look, Satan is deceiving you. Satan's making you believe that. God's word says that no weapons formed against you will prosper. I said, that's what God's word says. I said, so you've got to take God's word, and if you believe it is Satan, you tell Satan, the Bible says, I'm submitted to God, submit yourself therefore, and I'm resisting you, and you got to leave. Hallelujah. You know, so he would like to convince, so I would tell him, nope, Satan don't have authority like that. You've got to take your authority. See, God's already took authority over Satan. Through Jesus Christ, he kicked him out of heaven, he's down here, and he wants everything to do with God's purpose and God's will out of your life. That is his objective. He hates God. He can't stand God. He can't stand anything that resembles God. Why? Because of the authority that he don't want over him that we have, Johnny. We have authority over Satan. Period. Hallelujah. There's no power struggle there. Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and if you read it and keep it in its context, and here he is, he's sending them out. I mean, he's sending them out to preach the gospel and all of that. And he told them, he said, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me, talking about God. And the 70 returned again. He had sent them out with joy, saying, Lord, even devils are subject to us through your name. And he said to them, I behold Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, we are his disciples now. And Jesus, the Bible is very clear. God said, I am the Lord your God, and I do not change. Jesus said in Hebrews, he said, I am the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, forevermore. And then he tells us through the scriptures, he says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you all the way to the end. My pastor used to preach and he'd bring up the scripture and it says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And he would say, make your mind up. You're going all the way. You're going following all the way to the coming. You're not going. And I was reading in Matthew chapter 24. Read your Bible. And I was reading in there, and it says, and after the sign of the coming of all these things. He's talking about troubles and people being betrayed, and he's talking about persecution, different things in Matthew 24. He said, after the sign, after all these things, then shall be the sign of the coming of the Son of Man in all of his glory. And God spoke to me. He said, I don't want you to live here thinking that you're never going to go through anything, that you are not going to be challenged with afflictions and attacks and all of that. He said, and don't teach my people that they will be raptured out of here before ever anything gets rough. Hallelujah. He said, that's not my scripture. He said, but train them to war a good warfare, to fight a good fight, to lay hold of the things of the kingdom. The word of God's eternal. The Word of God does eternal things in the heart of man by the Holy Spirit whenever He quickens and brings it to us. Hallelujah. And so the enemy is not winning. See, y'all got quiet. You get quiet, maybe you're learning. Maybe it's hard for you to believe that, because of CNN and Fox and Democrats and Republicans and liberals and blah, 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 blah. Amen. I'm not hung up in all of that. I know the government shut down. Shut her on down. You can't shut the kingdom down. The Bible says that me and you as believers has entered into a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. That is why the psalmist in there, the psalmist David, he said, and he was facing many things. He said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He lived through some dark times. He lived through times of war and battle and having to take territory that for God and the children of Israel marching forth, having to take down the Jebusites and all of those ites and all of those enemies that had occupied God's land. So they went forth and like Samantha, you know, whenever we're fighting these out of the blue attack. And then out of her mouth, thank you, Lord, I go in your strength. You know, I was reading about, because look, when you start getting revelation from the Lord, when you start getting insight like I did and I have and I'm going to and I'm going to continue believing and seeking God, I want more light. I want to go deeper. I want to know Him more. I'm going to get everything that's in that Bible that God has for me before I leave here or before Jesus comes back. And praise God, and some of them believe that and they didn't get to enter, and that if that's me, I'm going to leave here believing. Amen. But Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh because of the revelation coming to him. He was getting revelation from the Lord. He said, lest I be exalted, lest he lifted himself up. He said, a thorn in the flesh. He said, a messenger from Satan to buffet me. Right? And he cried out to God. I've done it more than once, Johnny. God, remove this devil. God, do something about this devil. Then I found out that he's already done everything. I found out as I grew and learned, praise God, in the Bible, Jesus said right here, he said, I give you power over all the power. Sometimes my stand is quietness. Sometimes when I come under a major attack from the however or whatever, I found out in the book of Proverbs, it says a wise man has few words. So if I flip that around, if I go to just talking and my problems and all of that stuff, according to the scripture, I'm not wise then. So sometimes my stand is quietness. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say nothing. Because if I start saying stuff, then I'm going to give place to the devil. So sometimes my way of fighting is standing. And I just stand. And stand. And stand. Praise God. And if that's what you need to do, everybody does it different, I'm sure. Everybody responds to things their way. You know, there's certain ways that I fight the good fight of faith that seems bold and arrogant to people, but in my heart I'm humble. I'm saying, God, I've got this faith from you, and I'm not going to back down. I don't care if the enemy tells me that I'm prideful. I don't care if he tries to get me to shut up. There are certain times you can't get me to shut up, like on prospering. I'm going to prosper. The Bible says that me and you, everything that we set our hands to do prospers. Your job should prosper because you're there. Hallelujah. I mean, pray God, you should serve the Lord in where you work or don't work. Hallelujah. But you should serve the Lord and expect God to prosper you according to the Word of God. There's no conditions on that other than He said. It's not whether I got a good job. Garage Doors has never prospered me. I've been in it 33 years. They let me down. They failed me. Yanked out from under my foot. People didn't pay for them. I had to go take them out, give them away. I mean, you know, but whatever road, whatever bridge you're crossing at the time, you cross that thing through the Word of God. You keep the Word of God first place and final authority. You make quality choices. You've got to make quality choices. You've got to make your mind up that you are sick and tired of being defeated. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I mean, make your mind, make quality. A quality decision is a decision that a Christian makes based on the Word of God and takes a stand on it. And I'm going to have this manifest in my life and don't back down no matter what. Hallelujah. Satan has told me through thoughts more than once, you're not going to be blessed in garage doors anymore. He told one guy that went to church here before we moved down here, back there, and he had a good job and coming up, and they wanting a family and a house and all of that, and he come to me, and he said, I've been hearing a rumor at work. I want you to pray for me, and he want me to pray for him. He said, I heard a rumor at work, you know, that they going to be laying people off. I said, that gives you an opportunity to praise God. I said, don't get in fear. Praise God. And you tell the, I said, don't say nothing about it. You believe God. Don't listen to rumors. I said, but if it happens, I said, you take your pink slip and you go out of that place and you raise it up to your God and you say, glory to God, one door shuts and you open doors that no man can shut. I said, and you begin to praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, it never happened. But Satan brought that to get him into fear. That's why a good Bible-based preaching church, whether you're here or you're listening, you need to have one. You need to be hearing the Word of God on a regular basis in the place. There's a guy today, he said, since Charlie Kirk got killed, he said people are flooding the church and they're going to church and all. It's not on account of Charlie, but he said this. He said, not every church is preaching Jesus. He said, not every church is preaching the Word of God. He said, some preach their emotions and some preach, you know, trying to get people to feel good and all of that stuff. Not meaning no bad. He said, but the Word of God-based church and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is the place that you need to be. You need to be in a place where God is center in that church. Jesus is magnified as Lord in that church. And Jesus is pointed to in that church. And that's what the Word of God does, points us to God and to Jesus. Because you know what? We're not without God and without hope in this world. We are with God. We are in God. The Bible says our life is hid in God through Jesus that we put our trust in. Praise God. And he told them guys, he said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all. You ought to be in your house. You ought to be on your ground. And you ought to be taking authority over witchcraft and darkness and telling Satan, you don't abide here. Your spirits are not going to dwell at my house. Get across my property line, because as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And then let Satan's chips fall where they may. Hallelujah. How many knows you've been given authority over the powers of darkness? Jesus said in John 10:10, it's not in my notes. He said, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. If he's killing in your family, if he's destroying your finances, if he's taking your joy, if life is not no good unless you're entertained, that's the thief working. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundant. That means you have vision for your future. You might not feel good all the time, but you know. There's a difference in feeling and knowing. I know in whom I have trust. I don't feel him all the time. I don't have to. The Bible is clear. He said, I will be with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So I've got to believe that. Not based on how I feel on Monday morning when I got to go to work and I really don't want to. Right? The weekend wasn't long enough. I can't let my job steal my joy. Right? No, I get up and say, thank you, Lord, this is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know what? Most of the time when I go to work, I leave out into trouble. Every phone call's trouble, just about. One time I was thinking about it, I thought, man, every call I get, most of the time is trouble. Somebody's having trouble. I'm having to go back on job, something. It's something trouble. It's trying to overwhelm me at that time. Satan's getting me looking at it to focus on it. And I'm a young Christian at that time. And the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, see, he said, adversity is your opportunity to develop and grow your strength in me. And then you will be able to handle all of these things. He's our cupbearer. He's our problem solver, right? We cast our care over on him, right? He's told me for about a year on and off, it's time for you to retire. It's time for you to retire. And do what? I'm thinking, Satan, what are you, stupid? I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, I'll be sleeping 8 hours a day and 9.5 hours a night. I'll be sleeping all day and all night. You know, I'll get up over there and go over there 4 days later and my cows will be like, who are you? The Bible says, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What is God doing? He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's not weak in battle. He's not wearied. You can't worry him. Hallelujah. And we draw through Jesus and the Holy Spirit that same God kind of strength, God kind of mindset. He said, let this, he said one place it says, gird up the loins of your mind. And I studied it, it said, prepare your mind for action. And he wasn't really talking about natural. He was talking about let my mind, renew my mind to God's word, that I'm going to be the best that I can be for God. That I'm going to be like Jesus when he comes. See, the Bible says it doeth not yet appear what me and you shall be. But when he comes, we're going to be just like him. I mean, I know it looks like a big task, but it ain't. God is well up to it, and he's given us his word. The more that we hear the word of God, the more that our mind is renewed to him. We're not trying to renew our mind, we're doing it. Don't 10 years later, I got to renew my mind. I got to renew my mind. 10 more years, oh, I knew it, I should have renewed my mind. And ask you, what is John 10:10? Well, it says the thief coming, your mind's renewed, just use it. My mind is renewed to some things, and I use it frequently. Frequently, hallelujah. I still sang the old gospel song, I guess it is. I shall not be moved. My marriage goes into trouble. I'll come out. But God, this is just one more battle. One more river to cross. One more valley, whatever it is. One more battle that I gotta go through. Then I'm leaving his troubles behind. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to be defeated in the battle. Not when the victory is already won. Ephesians chapter, put that up there, Beth. Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How much might has he got? How much power has he got? He's the God that rolled back the Red Sea. I was thinking about other religions today and Buddha and all of them other not gods that they call gods. They call them God. They worship all kinds of stuff. It would freak us out to go over and see how they bow to mice. They feed them. They're gods. They're reincarnated. All kinds of things. Hallelujah. Buddha. You know. But there ain't not one of them that's ever come out of the grave. They're dead. Those gods are dead. With those worship a dead God. But our God, they even said about Elijah said about their God, he must be on the toilet. Must be, he ain't showing up, man. I mean, they praying to their God. I mean, they're wanting to show up and show out and all of that. And I can imagine Elijah's like, Lord, 9 hours of this stupid stuff. I know a God that's fixing to burn this place down with fire. Hallelujah. I know a God that we're fixing. I know him. I know a God that if you call on him, he will rain the fire of God in your heart and in your life and in your future and all of that. He will do it. But God, he called on him, and I mean, he made it almost impossible. The water and all of that did it extraordinary. The Bible says those that do know their God will do exploits. Extraordinary things. Me and you ought to be laying hands on the sick. Not caught up in our troubles and how we feel. I've been praying for people that had opportunities that's got diagnosed with cancer and all of that. And I tell them, God's going to bring you out. God's going to bring you out. And I tell them, call me up and give me the results when you get the result. Why? Because he told us over there that we got power over all of that stuff. Jesus went about doing good healing. You might say that was Jesus. Well, I just told you the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of that glory. The doctors don't have the answers. Travis has got one that prays with him, and I praise God for that. He's a believer. One of his doctors, that's God. Went over and talking, we had done some work and this guy, they diagnosed him, and he said, I was playing football in March, and the dude looked like he couldn't walk from the house to the car. He said, it didn't take it long to do this right here. And he talked about his doctor praying, and I told him, I said, you know what? I said, that was God. That was God put a doctor that believes in your life. Hallelujah. And then I told him, I said, God's going to bring you out. I said, I'm looking. Now, my mind is saying, oh, my God, what if he dies, man? People's hearing you say that. How many knows that's fear? The Bible's not give you a spirit of fear to cower down to that stuff. No, we're supposed to be Mark 16:17. He says, these signs will accompany those who believe. They'll be with them. I will confirm it. I'll heal them. We know that it's not us. We know that in ourselves we can't heal nobody. We know that we can't say nothing and change somebody's future within ourselves. But if we hear from God, we're speaking the word of God. We're speaking the oracles of God to them. And God's word will not return void. He'll go and he will demonstrate signs, wonders, following. But he wants me and you caught up in our little trivial things, which are mountains to us. He wants us all focused in on that, just trying to survive. Somebody told me they want to come visit. They're off up in Coleman. So I sent them a message. I said, what is your problem? What is getting in your way? of coming and visiting this church. And when I'm asking out, I'm thinking if it's a car, I'll buy him one. I'm thinking if it's something out of his, God, I've got the money. I don't even know him. But he keeps liking this church. And he keeps saying, I'm coming to that church. He's listening to the sermons and he's amening the sermons. You know, and I'm like, man, hell ain't got enough power to keep that guy out of here. Because we control hell. We are the restraining force of darkness on this planet. I am the restraining force. That's how come when my neighbor's cow got out there. And, you know, it takes years, Tony, when you plant an apple tree, you're looking every year in the fifth year. Oh, it's going to be next year. And then the cow gets out there and breaks over the top of it and destroys 5 years of dreaming. God tells me I'm down there, and God said, go cure him some squash. I said, he can get his own squash. Black God, he can get out there and sweat like I do. Gardening is not for the faint at heart if you're going to plant a big one and you're going to have some fruit. You know, you got to enjoy it. And so I'm out there, and I'm sweating, you know, and I said, he ain't going to get not one squash from this anointed man. But God did. I told him to put the bull. I even went and got my own four-wheeler, and I went up there and built half of his fence to keep his bull in. And he still got out. He watched me build it. That's terrible. And I'm up there. I go in the name of the Lord. He didn't know it. But I'm up there. I'm going in the name of the Lord God Almighty. God, Satan used to get me to kill him. They'd half kill him and let him know, but God, I'm a man now. I'm a man of God now. And I fight my battles different. How many knows the Bible goes on there in Ephesians? It said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It wasn't my neighbor. He might have been yielding to the enemy, his selfishness or whatever he might have been yielding to. And men should stay out of that, figuring out what's wrong with them arena. We ought to just get over here in our arena and say, I'm going to fight Satan for him. Glory to God. So finally I told God, I said, yes, Lord, I will. He said, well, he said, if you want to overcome the evil, he said, you're going to have to do it doing good. Yeah. I'd already bound the enemy. I'd already bound, and I'd already just went and plowed the bull. I got him with a big iron rod, and then he bucked up on me. So I got in my truck, and my truck was more than he could handle. And I put him over on his place with my pickup. And then I looked and I thought, man, it's a wonder I didn't get it with these airbags. Because, I mean, I put him in his place. He's an animal. I got authority over the animal. Amen. Well, you know what? Praise God. I went and I carried squash over and I never said nothing about the stupid apple. The apple tree's still there. I'm going to take three of them up this year and I'm going to put three more out. My point in that right there is when I left there, I felt like that I had been like Samson and toted the gates of the city. I felt like that I had won a spiritual battle, which I had, because that man was not my enemy. That man might have been yielding to the enemy and not doing right. That didn't justify his doings. It don't justify if somebody's doing you wrong that it's just okay. And no, it does not. But vengeance don't belong to me and you. And that's the arena Satan tries to get me and you in. He wants to get us over there fighting the battle ourselves, because he will insinuate that you can do something about it. Like God really can't. See, in that manner, I would have been going and telling Satan, here's the leads to my life. I want you to take control. Like, Jesus, take the wheel. We'd be saying, Satan, take the wheel. No, we don't do that. Hallelujah. So there's no power struggle with us. God took care of him and kicked him down here and said, the earth I give to y'all guys. Now, y'all guys subdue it. Y'all guys take authority. Y'all guys. Well, you know what? I found out that poverty was of Satan in the Bible. I found out that it was under the curse. And then I can't stand anybody that's in poverty. Not them. I can't stand them being in poverty. It just seems to be something that burns in me to help them come out of poverty. That's what Jesus did to me and you. You were spiritually bankrupt, and then when you give your heart to Jesus, you became rich spiritually. But praise God, I mean, even millionaires without God are in poverty. They've got plenty, but it's got them. They don't really got it. It's got them. But true spirituality and freedom in that is He gives it all to us, but we know that it's His. It don't belong to us. It don't own us, but then it takes care of us. Hallelujah. So I found out in there, and I went around saying at 27 and a half years old, because of what that Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, and it still ain't changed after all these 33 years. It still says the same thing every time I read it. God says, just keep hearkening to my voice. He said, and all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. He said, you will just increase. All of your life you will increase. I will increase you more and more, some says, even your children. Hallelujah. He says, I'll increase you more and more. And our giving increases the fruits of our right stand. I found out how to come out of poverty in that Bible. People label me as a prosperity preacher. I believe Jesus was. Jesus said, if you're dead, believe in me and you'll be alive. That's prospering, right? He told the disciples, he said, go out and preach the gospel. See, me and you are supposed to be administering the gospel. Teaching our kids the gospel. Teaching our grandkids the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all, when we're born again, ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's come into our life, and what we have, we want our kids to experience. We not just their selfish wants. We want them to know Him like we know Him. Because some of us know that we would be dead today had God not intervened in our life. And we know now that because God intervened into our life and what we have learned thus far, that we live a pretty good life. Hallelujah. And we want our kids, and see, that's preaching the God. Go into all the world. Your gang, your kids and your grandkids could be the next ones that are going to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around this earth. God could put it in them that they sell out to Him, and they're missionaries and they're prophets. And the rewards that they will get. Many have left their lives in the Bible. He told them, he said, leave the boats. Leave your occupation. Leave your occupation. Follow me. I'm going to get you to gather men to me. And he went on and he told them, he said, go. He said, don't take no money with you. Don't take no purse with you. I got a message out of that he was telling the disciples, praise God, that they came back months later, however long, and he asked them, he said, did you lack anything? Now they left. They didn't know where they was going. I mean, far as I guess they didn't take no money, no food. I mean, well, I at least would pack a lunchbox for the first couple of days, right? He told them, don't take no money. And he told them, whatever house you go in, if you're peace, stay. He said, eat what they give you. Well, they come back and they said, what did you lack? He said, Lord, we did not lack anything. And when I read that, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and He said, if you'll follow me, He said, if you'll preach my word, He said, you will not lack anything. Now, it took me a few years to believe that. The problem was not the lack. The problem was the lack of me believing. That's why you got to stick with the word. I mean, when your mind's tilting and saying it won't happen for me, I don't do this, I ain't been doing that, blah, blah, blah. You know, you got to get your mind off of all of that and say, forget those things behind. I'm not going to dwell on my failures from yesterday. I'm not going to dwell on what I was. See, You've got the potential. Everyone here under the sound of my voice and listening by way of, if you've been born again, you have the potential to prosper on the inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He will do it. See, it's not based on how many was in your family. I blamed that for a little while. Then I figured out I'm still going to be broke. Right? It's not where you come from. It's not how many breaks you got in life. It's not the color of your skin. It's not the church necessarily you go to. It's the one you follow. Paul said it like this. I mean, if you've been born again, and I've said it. Paul said, I follow after that I have been apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know, when I read that one time and I thought if He did it, I'm going to do it too. I'm going to follow after Him. I want Him. I want your strength. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I can't go through and tell you really right now what all the armor is and explain it to you. I just feel like I've got enough. I know it says put on the armor. They did it in Sunday school. Yeah, brought out the big breastplate and all of that, you know. And so I just say what I know. My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm a peaceful man. I go out there and overcome evil with good. Blessed is the peacemaker. I believe if we listen to Jesus and love our enemies, I believe we're putting on the armor. I believe we're putting, you can mind with your mind put on the armor. Or you can, in your spirit, have on the armor. Put on that new man created in Christ Jesus. Does that mean we're perfect? No, I'm a long ways from perfect. I wouldn't want to tell you all my flaws because it would hinder you probably from receiving from me. See y'all quiet. Some of y'all don't want me to come home with you because you're afraid I might not like you anymore because of the way you are. That's all of us. There's none of us perfect. None of us reached to the full measure of Jesus yet. And we press toward the mark. And then that's why He says, love one another. Love one. He knew that you was going to have opportunity not to love me, Mac. He knew it. But He said, Mac, just love Scotty. I know he's not perfect. Sometimes he gets on your nerves and, you know. But just keep loving me. If you keep loving me, you can love him. Because I love him. Or turn it around, vice versa. You know? Hallelujah. I mean, look, if you want to get partially wealthy out of this church, start you a coffee house down here in Muntsville. Samantha will work an extra job. And I mean, keep plenty of sweets and loaded with cream and stuff. That one can go to $12 and $15, and it only costs you $50, and she's going to buy several a week. Beth, too. They done teamed up. Hallelujah. I try to drink one of them, Johnny. I just can't choke it down. I mean, it's like, gosh, why don't you just get you a bowl of sweets and just drink it? Now, I was being funny in that, hallelujah. But they drive all the way to way off for coffee. And I'm like, man, get a coffee pot. You know, turn it on. Fill it up. Teresa, she fills up a coffee pot at night. She don't drink much. I think she drinks a whole cup in the mornings, though, you know. But every now and then I'll flip it on for her. That thing ain't costing but about 50 cents probably for all of the coffee. Hallelujah. But you know what? I was thinking about them and I thought if they enjoy that and God's okay with that, I mean, people can criticize, they're dumb spending that kind of money on blah, 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 blah. Didn't the Bible say He gives us all things, even coffee richly? To what? Enjoy. I enjoy Blue Springs water. I drive by there every time I drive by there. In 1995, I welded that building together. So you're enjoying the fruit of my labor. And God gave me that job in 1995. The first vacation that me and Teresa ever was able to take came from that blessing from welding that Blue Springs water together. We were believing God that we could go on vacation. Didn't mean nothing to nobody. Everybody else is going on vacation. They come back broke, lights off and everything else, and they going. I'm like, what's the use of going, man? If you got to go, you know you're coming back and it's not going to be good, you know, and all of that. But we started believing God, and God sent the every time I ride by there, I say, that was you, God. That was you, God. That even Blue Springs water causes me to give glory to God. And you know what? I really like the water. I drink other water, and I'm like, I'm not drinking that other water. I pay more for that water than I do the other water. But you know, I always say, well, glory to God, I'm not a cheapskate. God said He would supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. He'll bless me so I can pay that for the water. You got to do the same thing. Let that mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus, the Word of God. If He didn't want us believing that He'd prosper us, He wouldn't have put it in that Bible, and he'd be like, just be in love with Jesus, and that's enough. No, He put it in there. He put all His promises. And the Bible says the promises of God are in Him. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. And so when I don't like my job anymore, which is frequent, you can't, I'm having to confess to you. You know, I mean, who wouldn't want to just quit? You know, but the will of God comes into play then. And you're like, God, I told Travis the other day, I said, there may come a time, and some of y'all are probably going to be in it. If God's will is for you to be here and you submit your heart to God and your will to God, and I mean, you just keep surrendering to God and you just tell Satan, you're not getting me out of this place, you're not getting me out of the will of God, whether it's here, wherever it's at, you know. But I told Travis the other day, I said, you may not need garage doors. I said, I believe for a new building. God told me to go all over the world and preach to God. No wonder Satan wants me to quit. He knows what God said. And he's tried everything for 30 years to get me to stop, to get me to yield to him, to get me just to quit, to give up. Take the easy road. Take the road of less resistance, Scotty. God understands. God understands. Satan will tell you that garbage. And I'd just stand up and I'd say, nope, I'm going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That started in 2000, but I was telling him, I said, may come a time when you don't need garage doors. Great God, God's going to bring the ministry and bring the building, and then we're going to preach the gospel all over the world. Somebody's going to have to run the media ministry, send out flyers, send out CDs, and it's going to be a ministry. Some of you might be, I wish it'd hurry up. Well, believe it in. Jesse Zavell went over there. Kenneth Copeland told him, he said, I want you to come and work for me in the ministry. They said, okay, that's fine. He said, yeah. He said, but the only problem I got is you're going to have to believe God for your salary. I heard that and I thought, man, that's pretty bold. You know, you can come work for me, but you're going to have to believe for your own money. A lot of us would say, that don't sound like a good deal. You know what he thought? He said, I'm having to believe God for my living anyways. So he went right on, but God, he was believing God anyhow. And you know what? That guy came up, and I mean, God raised both of them up. And in the last day, God spoke to Kenneth Copeland and told him, he said, I want Jerry Savelle to preach with you and be your partner preacher for the rest of your life. And so every Southwest Believers Convention, all that, there was Jerry. That's where I got that statement. Every one of y'all, I got it from him. Every one of y'all has the potential to prosper. It lives on the inside of you. But he got it out of the Bible. The Bible says that it is his will to prosper you and you have success. God's Word, all through God's Word, we're favored of God. We have God's favor. We have God's grace. And he even told, Paul even said, grace be multiplied. Grace is God's favor. These people calls me all the time and they say, you're too high. And I'll be like, well, I understand garage doors. I understand, you know, it is what it is. But we're going to use you anyway. And I thought I already knew that. I done learned it. Black God, hallelujah. You know, I went down today and somebody told me Western Auto, whatever it is down there, Weathers and Oneonta, they'd called this door company and that door company and hadn't ever called them back and finally got a hold of us. And I said, well, we'll be there in a little while. And walked in there and walked up and in the office, and you know, and he said, you're going to be my doorman? I said, you called the best. I started to tell him, Jesus has got me standing in front of you. But I didn't. You know why I believe that? I took a guy that's lost, that believes he's an atheist, but I found out something the other day. I found out they call it the golden rule. If you're an atheist, you can't believe that. It come out of the Bible. I took him, you know, and then I would tell him. I mean, he just walking around. He just didn't have a lot of confidence. And I'd start telling him, you know what? I said, I brought you out from being a door queen, garage door queen, I said, you're a door king. And I told him that every day. Y'all might have been queens, but we're kings. Travis come up with that. He'd say door kings on there. And I'm like, what? Door kings. Door kings, you know, and so I thought, hey, I got to believe we're one of the best. We serve Jesus. We're believing God for this ministry. We're believing God for our job. We got to be the best. We got to be wanted. Wanted, hallelujah. And so I started, and I told him, asked him one day, I said, are you a queen or a king?
I guess I'm a king.
So he goes telling them guys he used to work for, I'm a king. I'm a door king. We're the door kings. I took him without God, just inspired words that I meant what I was saying, till he believes he's one of the best. I have to get him to slow down. I mean, the dude is wide open. Told him the other day, I said, whoa, there's a piece sticking out about like this. I had one guy go with us and he'd run it through the door. You know, and I said, oh, you're making me nervous. He's just getting it done. He outruns Travis, especially on Friday. I mean, the dude is like, I'm like, you're not even done, and you look around, you ain't got no tools left. You're not even done yet, man. I told him one day, I said, hey, man, where'd all the tools go? I was done, put them up. I said, well, we're not done yet. We're still on the job, you know. And I told him, I said, where's all these bolts that we got to have for this door? And, I'll go get them. So he got to go dig them out of the truck because he's done cleaned. He's already in the truck and we ain't even got to the truck. But what I'm saying is, I thought, and I've claimed him. I've claimed him to the kingdom of God. I told him the other day, I said, hey, Keith, he's funny, man. He's a good guy. I said, hey, Keith. Yeah. I said, man, it's going to be bad if you're not in heaven. We're going to heaven, you know. And I'm planting a seed in him, Matt. I'm letting him know we can't go without you. And he already knows there ain't but one way to go. Because I talk about Jesus all the time. Me and Travis talk about being blessed going in and out. And when we don't feel good, we talk about the things of God. How many knows that's what you do? You rehearse the things of God when things are looking contrary. You don't talk the contrary and just get down there and get down to in unbelief and give up and discouragement and all that. No, you encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Encourage yourself with the Word of God. So I want to encourage you tonight. There's no power struggle between you and Satan. You have authority over him, and he's under Jesus' feet. Jesus is in us. He's under our feet, and if it gets out, we put him back and tell him, stay. Stay there. I told him one time, I said, you know what? Satan, you tried to get me to do this and this, and I double dog dare you to come and mess with this church. If you do, you messed with the wrong church. This church has power in Jesus' name. This church has faith that come from God. And we don't bow to fear and unbelief. I've never paid one light bill at this church out of my own pocket. I had one guy go and a $350 light bill shut the whole church down. And I'm like, that's terrible. That's terrible. I got a big bill one time and I took it to God, Mac. And I told him, I said, hey, you got a bill, sir. I took it to him, Johnny. He hears me. The Bible says his ears are open to you, right? The cry of the righteous, the talk of the righteous, the prayer of the righteous. Our prayers, according to Revelation, goes up with flames of fire before the throne of God. Our talking to God, right? He hears me. I told him, I said, I'm not taking on your bills. They've never cut our light off, Tony. I've never paid one light bill out of my pocket. That's your life in God's hands. He took on your life. He said, I'll take care of you. I will raise you up. I will prosper you. All I need is you to believe me and trust me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we just thank you tonight, Father, for your Holy Spirit.